Blog Talk Radio.
Best-selling and award-winning author of true crime and crime fiction, Yvonne Mason is back with a brand new book, The Pink Canary, a book that delves into the life of a drag queen and a marvelous whodunit. You can find this and all of Yvonne's other works on Amazon.com or find Yvonne Mason on Facebook and Twitter.
You're gonna kill me.
Buy your copy of Pink Canary now.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, but it is Saturday night. This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and yeah, that was a shameless piece of promotion. It's one of my comedy books called The Pink Canary, and if you've never been to Key West, you are missing a trip of a lifetime because they have some of the most artistic, funniest people down there that I've ever seen in my life. And if you've never met a drag queen, you will get to meet one in the book, The Pink Canary. So go and get that book and laugh yourself silly. Tonight, I am so excited because I have a fellow Southern sister as my guest. She's from Corinth, Mississippi. But before I introduce her, I have to tell y'all something that is just, I would swing from the rafters if I had rafters in my house. When I did our numbers today for our show, and y'all all know that I say this is our show, it's not my show, it's our show, because it takes you, the listener, and my guest, like my guest tonight, Arthur Joan Hazel, to make the show successful. Yeah, I could sit here and blather for hours, but it wouldn't be the same. So because of all of y'all, ladies and gentlemen, now remember, the show's not even 2 years old yet. It's just barely a year and a few months old. This morning, just on the show, with Australia being our biggest listening base at 98%, thank you, Australia, we have reached 59,584 listeners. We are only 416 listens away from 60,000 listen base. Now, when you add all the podcasts and all the different countries that this show goes to after we shut the show down and I put it up on all the podcasts, plus the podcast that Blog Talk puts it up on, we're at 74,733 listeners, which puts us at 5,267 listeners away from 80,000 listeners. I am so excited. I'm excited for y'all, the listeners. I'm excited for my guest. And if I had rafters, I'd swing from the rafters because I'm just beside myself. And the reason the show tonight is at 9 o'clock as opposed to the normal time of 8 o'clock is my son turns 58 tomorrow, and we took him out to dinner with some friends of ours, and it was a very special night. So thank you for your indulgence. Now, with that being said, tonight's show is going to be so exciting. So grab your favorite beverage, but you can't run go get her books yet because we haven't talked about them, but you got to stay and listen to the show. You're going to miss something. My guest tonight is author Joan Hazel. And her works include paranormal fantasy, sweet romance, and nonfiction spiritual. She is a sought after vocal coach, I can't talk, and technician who still enjoys working with students to achieve the best vocal quality that they can. She has been a featured vocal coach at the 2012 and 2014 International Community Theater Festival in Venice, Florida. She will return there again next year. In addition to that, her artistic work, she is a Reiki master and a psychic intuitive. And y'all all know that this is right up my alley because she and I both are empaths and have this sixth sense, so we're going to have fun talking about that. She currently resides in DeLand, Florida, with her husband and her two dogs, Izzy and Ellie, and they are cute as bugs. And on top of that, she's from Corinth, Mississippi. That's where she was born and raised. And like I said, she is a fellow sister Southerner. Welcome, Joan. I am so glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, you know, before the show, we just got all kinds of things going on. And before we get to them, I have to tease the listeners with, how in the world did you get from Corinth, Mississippi to DeLand, Florida?
Oh, geez. Oh, let's see. Quickly, I met my husband in Corinth. He was an Alabama boy. In fact, he's in there yelling, "Roll Tide," because he's watching the game. So we kind of moved around. He's in college athletics. We ended up in Meridian, Mississippi, then Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Then he went to work for Marshall University, so we went to West Virginia. I went to North Carolina during his time in West Virginia and worked on a master's, well, finished my master's degree, got my master's. We moved back to Alabama, North Alabama, then back to South Alabama in Troy. And then he got the position at Stetson University, and here we are.
Gracious me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you something about this wonderful, wonderful woman. She not only got her master's, she got a double master's in music and business. And before the show, we were talking about that, how it makes perfect sense, because they're both analytical, they both deal with numbers and letters. What in the world made you do a double major in business and music?
Well, my undergrad was a double major in business and music. My
Your
master's
undergrad.
Was a major in performance and pedagogy. So,
and what is pedagogy?
Pedagogy is basically the teaching theories of and the teaching. Basically, when you finish pedagogy, you can teach teachers how to teach.
Wow. We need you. Especially down here in Port St. Lucie. We need you in these schools.
If you're teaching music, I'm right there.
Oh, my. Well, in all of you growing up, because your father was a Pentecostal
yeah.
minister as well as a farmer,
mm-hmm.
and your mother had such a love for nature and the interconnectedness of us all. Sounds like she was pretty much an empath, too.
Yeah.
How did that start you on your path of the love of the arts? Because you love the arts, writing, music, all of that.
It was my mother's mother who did it, my grandmother Britton. That was my mother's mother. And she played, if it was an instrument, stringed or keys, keyboard, tambourine, drum, it didn't matter. She played any instrument, never took a lesson in her life. It was all by rote, all by ear, self-taught musician. And my earliest memories was sitting on a bed with her bed, and singing hymns.
Wow.
And so I think I was singing before I could speak, to be honest.
That is amazing.
Yeah, she had a huge influence on me because they lived 300 feet from my house. You know, I could walk to Mama and Papa's house.
And probably even. Did on a regular basis.
Yeah, Mom would lose me. And I would, you know, the funniest thing, and I'll tell a story on myself, is my mother, she didn't realize I was about 2 years old, maybe. I still had a bottle and still in a diaper, so I had to be two walking. And I knew where their house was, and I guess Mom was busy, and I took my bottle in my diaper and walked to Mama and Papa to get some milk.
That is too funny.
And they called her and said, "Your baby's here," you know.
Well, you knew where the milk was.
I knew Mama would take care of it.
Exactly.
You know,
so you just waddled your little cell phone up.
I sure did.
That is so cute.
I just pranced myself right down the path and went over to Mama and Papa's and, you know, sit here.
And, of course, then you could do it because you were in the confines of the family farm, so
yeah.
It wasn't too far. You couldn't go and get lost. And before the show, we also talked about our little southern saying. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who know me know that I am born and bred in Georgia. I've lived in Florida for 12 years. You can take me out of the state of Georgia, but you cannot take the state of Georgia out of me. And like Joan, I was brought up by some old southern women. And probably like Joan's grandmother, if old Southern women needed to insult somebody, they didn't, because you just didn't do that, because that wasn't ladylike, but they would say, bless your heart, or bless her heart, or bless his heart, and depending on the context of the conversation, it was an insult, or it was sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
So tell them about what happened out west when you went out there.
Oh, yeah, I have a friend who lives out west, and I don't really remember what happened, but it was one of those situations where it was really a bless your heart moment, like the Southern bless your heart, and I think it was a waiter, and I went, oh, yeah, well, just bless your heart, and my friend, you know, he left, and my friend goes, that's so sweet you said that, and I went, no, not really. And she goes, what do you mean? And I explained to her that it really just meant, you know, you're just so special. You just, you know, honey, you're so special. You just want to pinch him, kind of.
You just can't help it, bless his heart.
Just really can't. He just can't. He just couldn't. You know, he could not help himself. And so I explained to her it really was not a compliment, and I really didn't mean I wanted to bless him. And she's like, we don't, but when we say that, we mean it. And I'm like, well, you're not from the South.
Well, we mean it too, but not necessarily in that way.
Yeah. And, you know, and I hate saying it, but it's also like sometimes when I hate saying this, and some people are just going to probably scream at me.
Take
but
over.
It's like when you see a baby, and, uh-huh. and this is a Southern thing too that I grew up with, and they're just not the prettiest baby you've ever seen. So you can't really say, oh, they're so – you will say, oh, bless his heart, or he's so precious. He's just precious.
Precious baby.
He's so precious. Yeah. Just precious. You know, so. And you knew if they said somebody's baby was precious, you're like, mm.
Uh-huh. What's wrong with it?
Mm-hmm. What's wrong?
You know. Maybe he'll grow out of it.
Yeah, you can only hope. You know,
we just fall right back into our idiotisms.
You do.
Because we know what we're saying. Maybe he'll grow out of it, bless his heart.
That's right, bless him. Yeah. And the other one that she could, because I said something about, I got really mad one day. And this is my friend out west, too. Love you, Rebecca, if you're listening. And I said, I'm going to just give them 40 kinds of billy goat hell. And she went, what? And I went, have you ever seen a billy goat get mad? Yeah.
Oh, God, I miss Georgia sometimes.
No, you do. When you're out of it, you miss it. Because some things get said and you're just like, oh, my gosh.
It brings back all kinds of memories. It brings back the culture that I grew up in and you grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And we understood each other in that culture.
Oh, yeah.
Some people look at me like I have two heads when I say things like, look, you don't want to see ugly, because when you see ugly, I don't even like ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But if she comes out, it's not my fault.
No, and I know exactly what you mean. Don't make me come over there. Don't.
That's another one. Don't make me come over there.
Don't make me come over there.
Because, and the one that I taught my girls and my son when they were growing up, because now they say, uh-oh, because when mama says not no but hell no.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's in deep trouble.
I was telling somebody if a Southern woman, because they were talking about if a Southern woman says, hell no, you know, it's not good. And I said, yeah, but there are degrees. It depends. Because it depends upon how long the word hell is.
Yep.
Because if it's, oh, hell no, it's okay. But if it's, oh, hell no, you know, however long that hell lasts, it's more severe.
Somebody's in deep doo-doo.
Yeah, you just might as well leave. You're in big trouble.
Life as you currently now know it will cease to exist.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a pause between hell and no,
and
you
no.
just get in your car and go, because it's not going to be pretty.
It's over.
Yeah.
So now that we've gotten these people educated in some more Southernisms, what in the world made you write?
What makes any of us write? You got that little voice in the back of your head that goes, hey, hey, I got a story. Come here.
Mm-hmm.
Come here. Why don't you put this down?
Well, I'll tell you something.
That's right. And they always do it when you're in the shower. You know, the oddest place is driving a car. Hey, I got a story for you. Yeah, okay. I think I always did. I always told stories. I always made up stories because I grew up by myself mostly because I'm on a farm out in the middle of – because we moved from Memphis. I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, and we moved from Memphis to a little place called Selmer, Tennessee, which is in McNairy County. And I was out in the middle of nowhere, basically. At least it seemed it. And so it was me and the cows and the dogs and the chickens and the ducks. And so I would spend a lot of time just making up stories inside my head and, you know, pretending I'm a pirate and all this and jumping out of the tree. And the same grandmother who taught me how to sing had that wonderful tradition of storytelling. And she loved to scare the snot out of you. So it was her goal in life to see if she could scare the bejesus out of me 90% of the time. And it just made her happy. You know. Yeah, oh, she would just get a kick out of it. And she would tell me these stories about ghosts and shapeshifters and the woman who could turn into the panther and the grave robbers and all this stuff from when she was a child growing up around Savannah and Adamsville, Tennessee, in the woods out there. And so I just think I got my love for that, and I started just making all these stories up. And the earliest story I can remember writing, and I still have it, I was 12 years old.
Wow.
And I still have that story.
You should publish it.
Oh, no. It's not publishable. But
you could rework it.
Well, I guess I could. And it was sci-fi. It was seriously about, it was about these two clans on two planets that were warring against each other and the witches and how they used the witches and all this stuff. I still have it.
You should rework it and publish it. It sounds fascinating.
I may someday. I don't know. I read it. I've read it a couple of times and went, you know, that's not bad for 12. And then I put it back.
Your grandmother would tell you to publish it.
Oh, yeah, she probably would.
She sounds, I would love her. I know I would love her because she's probably full of mischief as the day is long.
Oh, my God, she was. She was. I you know, and I miss her and my grandfather tremendously because she was, you know, the best way to say it's piss and vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And my papaw was very quiet, very solemn, very, yeah. He would just sit on the porch and rock once he was done, you know, doing, because he was a farmer too, and he would just sit on the porch and rock, and she would just be, you know, giving it heck, and he would go, and that's about all you can get out of him, you know.
But they probably blended very well together.
They did. They were married, 70-something years? I
wow.
guess. Maybe 60-something. He was 19 and she was 13 when they married.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, people did do that years ago, and nobody thought a thing about it.
No, not at all.
Because most women did not live beyond their 40s because they were worn out from having kids.
Yeah.
And working hard in the fields.
Working the fields, yeah, sure was.
And
yeah,
there's no point complaining because you just had to do it.
Oh yeah, you did what you you did what you had to do.
Mhm. You certainly
That's exactly
did.
What you did.
Mhm. Yeah. Let's talk about after I get through coughing into the phone with the bronchitis here. The Reiki Master.
Mhm.
Tell the folks what a Reiki Master is.
Well, Reiki basically is universal energy, because everything in this world is energy.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what. I know they go, well, it's a desk. Yes, but that desk was thought up, and the energy of it was put into it, and it's made out of energy. Everything is thought, deed, words. We're all energy. And it's channeling and using universal energy for healing, basically. And it's a Japanese tradition. So I've always, you know, if we go back even to when I was a kid, I've always been into this. And I've always, I didn't know what it was called, because my father was a Pentecostal minister. We just called it faith healing. But then as I got older and I learned about what Reiki was, and I met some wonderful women who are Reiki masters and who teach Reiki, and I went, yep, this is for me. So we use Reiki for healing and trying to put all the good stuff back into the world. And, it's the beautiful thing about it is I don't have to be in a room with you, because, once again, it's all energy.
And also, would it be fair to say that, and you and I talked about this earlier with the empath abilities we have and the sixth sense that we have, would it be fair to say that we draw negative or positive energy to ourselves simply by the way that we think, feel, and behave?
Sure we do. Sure we do. I mean, it's that wonderful, I hate saying it, but it's that wonderful spiral. I don't mean wonderful in a good way. But you get up and you start to have a bad day, like you stub your toe. Well, everything just seems to spiral and be negative from there on out.
Yep.
Unless you can stop yourself and pull yourself out of it, you know. So then your boss is in a bad mood at work, and then you have to deal with horrible customers, and then you go, why me?
Well, because you started stubbing your toe, and you let that control your day.
Exactly, and it's hard, especially. And we were talking about this as an empath. No matter, unless you can protect yourself 24/7. And sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. And it's not and it's not one of those things you can put on at the first of the morning and not have to rebuild it throughout the day occasionally, or rebuild it the next day. You always have to put energy back into it.
Yes.
For that protection.
And it's work.
It can be, yeah.
It's a lot of work, especially like we were talking about earlier. If you're in a crowd or in a room full of people, sometimes even in a grocery store.
Oh yeah.
I want to run, because I cannot stand all the energy that is bouncing around me and trying to take me over. And you want to just stop people and say, please. Whatever's bothering you, let it go.
Exactly.
Because you're killing yourself.
I think the worst was we went to Publix Christmas ago. And I am a do not put me in a public place around Christmas.
No, I hate Christmas for that reason.
And it was exactly. And it was probably the Friday before Christmas or something like that, and we had to run into the store. And the longer I stayed in Publix, the madder I became. And it was not because I was mad. It was just everybody in there, between the cashiers to the managers to the stockers to the people. And people were yelling at each other, and I'm just like, I can't. And finally, I just looked at my husband. I'm like, I can't. I got to go.
And
I went and sat in the truck.
Yeah, because you want to scream at the top of your lungs, people, it's not that important.
Yeah, you do.
You're killing yourself with your negative energy, and you're killing me because it's bouncing off of me.
And it's really, and I have a good friend who's a pranic healer, and we talk about this, and she's helped me a lot to learn how to bubble myself. You know, to put yourself in that bubble of light, to try to keep negative energy from bouncing to come back to you, you know, to come into you. So and I call it my disco ball now, because she said you put the bubble of light around you, and then you cover it in mirrors to reflect anything back, and then you cover it in Teflon because you don't want any of that, you know, what to stick.
Exactly.
So
that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a wonderful idea, and it works. And so now I'm just like, okay, disco ball.
Pop on here.
Just jump in the disco ball. And that's really what I think of it, is disco ball. And, you know, it's like I said, sometimes and we were talking about this, about being at the Space Coast book this summer. I was so excited to be there. I was like, okay, we're, you know, gung-ho, we're getting in. And then by the time everybody started filing in, I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't bubble up.
Got to go take a break.
That's right. Excuse me. Be right back. You know.
Got to go insulate myself, because there was so much energy in that room.
Time.
And it was conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was.
Yeah, I had to watch, and then it got worse when the readers started coming in. You picked it all up, and you're going, "I'm gonna have a panic attack."
Well, it was very what I call disconjuncted.
Yes, that's
because
it was
very sporadic because it was bouncing everywhere. Mm-hmm. It really was. Mm-hmm.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Joan and I have not lost our minds. Trust me. Empaths of the world will understand what we're saying, and it's not something that we wished upon ourselves. It runs in families. My family's full of it. I know yours has to be.
Yes, yeah, it was. My mother, my great-grandmother, my sister. We think grandfather was. He just never said anything. The one who sat there and went, mm-hmm.
That was his insulation.
It probably was. And going out to the garden.
Yes, because my mother will come in, she'll say, "Yvonne, I hate these feelings." And I said, "Mom, I've told you for years, you've got to embrace it because you cannot fight it. It is much a part of your makeup as the color of your eyes."
And you also have to realize what's yours and what's not yours.
Yes.
You know, and if it gets to that point, you say, you know, this isn't mine, I don't claim it. And I send it with love and light back to the one who brought it.
And I refuse to own it.
Yes, because it is not yours.
I've told friends of mine, it's not your guilt to bear.
Mm-mm.
So don't own it, because when you own it, then it will devour you. You also read T-charms?
I do. I read T-charms.
Tell me about it. I'm just finding out all kinds of things about you.
I am an eclectic person.
Yes, I love it.
Tea charms are, you know, if you do tea leaf reading, which to me, I like tea. In fact, I have my sweet tea with me right now. but growing up Southern, we didn't have the leaves in there.
Right.
But it was born from the tea leaf reading. And so when you read tea leaves, a lot of times some of the similar things pop up, like anchors or butterflies or, you know, various things. And I found this out by reading yesterday too. Victorian era in the 20s, the gypsies would bake little charms into cakes, like little muffin type things, tea cakes, and they would wrap them and bake them. And then when you ate it, whatever that charm was in that cake, that was your fortune. That was your reading, was whatever was in that cake. And so, unfortunately, they were made out of lead, so that wasn't a good thing. And luckily, they stopped baking them in cakes and started just reading them. So this was born from that tradition. of the little charms and the cakes. And I have charts, and this wonderful woman, in speaking of Australia, she's in Australia, and she came up with this, and she started putting out these sets of tea charms. And she makes these beautiful charts. And so you spread the tea charms on this chart, and you read how they lay and on the questions that they fall on and what each one means, and if they're next to each other, does it, you know, how they relate to each other. And you go through it like that, and you can do everything. My charts run everything from love and career to how am I stuck, why am I stuck, you know.
Interesting.
Can I get out of my way?
Most of us can't, because most of us are not intuitive to our inner being. We're so busy being outward that we forget how to go inward.
Well, and we also, you know, some of us are stubborn.
Oh, that's true.
And no matter, you know, what we get told, the moment we say no, well, there it goes out, you know.
It's so done. True. So true. Bless their hearts.
Bless their, I know it.
And you're an angel realm reader?
I am an angel realm reader. This was something Doreen Virtue came up with. And, you know, it makes so much sense. So I took the class on Angel Realm, and what it is if you believe in reincarnation or incarnation, when you come to this world, not everybody is the same. And we know that by looking at each other.
True.
But some of us might be an incarnated something else, an incarnated fairy, an incarnated angel, an incarnated unicorn. And so each one from those families have certain traits. And you can look at a person sometimes and say, oh, my gosh. You know, if you've ever met somebody and you go, they're such a fairy. They're such a little pixie. They're such a this.
Uh-huh.
More than likely,
they
were that. And they've now incarnated into human form.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I've run into that, and when I've done readings on people before, I'll look at them, I go, you know, you really need to go sit in the flowers. And they're like, oh, I love flowers, I have roses everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you're a flower fairy.
And they look at you like, what?
Mm-hmm, they do.
But then they don't understand it, so maybe someday they will. If they need to look inward and not outward.
Yeah.
Now, with all of these wonderful things that you have within you, the music, the business, the psychic intuitive, the empath, the tea charms, the angel realm reader, the Reiki master, that has helped with your stories, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You know, it's really interesting, and I didn't realize it until it happened. I've written the books, and then I'll go through and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, okay, so The Last Guardian was the first in the series of The Guardians of Haven. But in the second book in that series, Burdens of a Saint, the main character is named Saint. He's called Saint. And he's a shapeshifter. He's a wolf, but he's, you know, he's 200 years old, and he's been around a while, and he kind of had a existential meltdown trying to determine when he goes, I'm a spiritual human creature, but I'm also a wolf, so how can I be both? And so he went and lived with the Dominican monks, and he became a monk for a while, and that's where he picked up the name Saint. And he's done all these other eclectic things too when it comes to healing, but he's a natural healer. And in the second book, I had him do a body scan and healing on somebody using a specific type of pendulum. And it wasn't until I wrote the book and got through it that I went, oh, my goodness, he was basically doing Reiki on this person.
Wow.
And I went, oh, my gosh. And the pendulum that he used I actually have one that's called an etheric weaver that is to be used in healing that helps to take energy, bad energy out and put good energy in. But I didn't put in my head that that's what I did with him until after I read it and I went, oh my gosh, he's basically using a Celtic version of the etheric weaver. I went, oh.
See, ladies and gentlemen, we write what we know and we write who we are.
Whether we realize it or not. Yeah.
Yes,
exactly.
It just comes out.
It does. It truly does.
Now, you have written an interesting book. I was just sitting here looking at it, and it goes, Your God Said What?
Mm-hmm.
A Spirit Guide Q&A. This book looks so interesting. Tell me about it.
I am very big on dealing with spirit and spirit guides. They are my thing. Because if I do a reading on somebody, it's never me. Any psychic will tell you it's not us. It's them. It's spirit. Channeling, not necessarily channeling, but it's spirit talking through us. And so I was getting questions about, well, do they see you in the bathroom? Can you have an alien? What about a vampire? Can this happen? Can that happen? Can the other thing happen? And one of my guides came to me and he goes, you know, just write it down. And I'm like, what? He goes, no, seriously, just write it down and we'll answer your questions. And
people
so
really
it was
ask.
Me and my spirit guides answering questions for people. And they actually brought up questions that I didn't even think of and answered them. And I'm like, really? You know, because I was sitting here going, okay, guys, people are going to think I'm crazy. They're like, they think you're crazy anyway, just put it down. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll put it down.
But we're not crazy.
No, we're not. We're not.
No, I take that back. I went crazy to keep from going insane.
Yeah, with it. You know, we all walk a fine line.
Well, that's true. But then what is normal for the spider is chaos for the fly.
Exactly.
So our normal is probably chaos for our listeners because they're going, what in the hell are these two women talking about?
You know, and then maybe there's somebody who goes, oh, my gosh, now I understand.
I get it. It's a light bulb.
Exactly. The
light bulb thing over the head. Now I know that I'm not crazy and I'm not insane. I just have all of these things within me that now I know what I can do with them.
And you know, I think for all of us, there is that moment of, oh, my heavens, am I a nut? Am I a Fruit Loop? You know, I hear, and for me, this is where everybody's going to start clicking off now. So when I hear, because I do hear things.
Uh-huh.
I do hear them talk to me. You know, and the first time I was like, who, what? You know, and so you're sitting there going, well, what was that?
What?
What? You know, and you look around going, excuse me, what?
We have a caller. Let's see what they want.
Okay.
Hello, caller. This is Yvonne with my guest, Joan Hazel. How can I help you?
Hi, Yvonne. My name is Pamela Tipsword, and I'm a wonderful, good friend of Joan's. I wanted to call in and say, yes, I finally got on to hear her talk. And
yay,
no, she's not crazy. No, she's not crazy because I'm also a fellow reader. So, and we do indeed check in with each other too. So,
yeah.
And you just gave me a good idea for our next event. So,
awesome.
There you go.
So
that's perfect.
Well, I know one of the questions that we were talking about earlier when we were at the Chili Cook-Off was somebody was asking me when your next book is coming out.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are working on that book right now, actually. Well, Ellie's working
good
on it. If you saw the picture, she was writing on it.
Oh, was she writing? Okay.
My dog.
And I'm sure that Ellie is very, very smart, and she's going to do all your edits, too.
No, no, because she can't spell. I mean, she's only five.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So spelling's not her best thing. But storytelling, she's pretty good at that.
Yes, she is. And so are you, and so are your characters, too. I don't know if Yvonne realizes this, but when you read her books, they have a tendency to come alive. So it's one of these things that when you deal with spiritual work that, like we both do, because I'm also a massage therapist too, that they're real. They're real to most of us when they come through the pages.
Excellent.
So I don't know if you've read any of the books, but I've been waiting on bated breath for the next one involved because I know which one it's about.
So, Joan, now you must tell us, is this part of the Guardian series or is this a standalone?
Well, you know, here's my long, convoluted answer. There's four characters in the Guardian series, four main characters, male. And I started on one of them for the third book, and then somewhere in it, the other one goes, no, it's my book. And I went, but we decided it was his book. No, it's my book. And so halfway through writing the one about the character's name's Ghost, and halfway through writing about Ghost, the oldest of the shapeshifters, Fergus, went, no, it's my book, and it's my time. And I went, yes, sir. So halfway through, I switched and started writing on the other one.
I understand.
Well, you know,
that.
He is pushing.
He is pushing. He's bossy.
I totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I researched a book for 4 years. And then when I went to write it, I had it in my mind to write it one way, and the main two characters are saying, I'm going to block your head until you decide to write it my way because it's my story. So I understand that.
I wrote one chapter in the first Guardian book. I wrote it 12 times.
I get
12
it.
Times. Huh? Because I would write it, and they're like, no. And it never went the way I wanted it to.
It has to go the way they have to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally did.
Yes.
And so I finally had to give in and go, okay, fine. I hear you. But I will tell a quick story about my characters. And, you know, writers, we're a little wackadoo anyway.
Oh, that's true.
And so be a writer and an empath and a psychic. And, you know, you live with these guys 24/7. Every character you write, you live with them. And so they get to be so real and tangible sometimes.
And obnoxious.
And, yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. And so I have one character, and his name is Ghost. That's just what they call him. His real name is Icelandic. It's a gear. But everybody calls him Ghost because he transforms into an Arctic wolf. Therefore, Ghost. And Ghost is very metrosexual, kind of. He loves getting his hair done. He loves clothes. He wants to look good. He loves the ladies, you know, and he's just that kind of guy. And he's very fashion. He's very fashion conscious. And I was in a store, and I never wore the color pink. I was a contralto. We don't wear pink.
Right.
You just,
I don't wear pink.
You know. That's just not a thing for me, for us. And so I was shopping, and there was a sweater hanging on the rack, and it was pink. And I hear, you would really look good in that. I'm like, what? And it was that character in my head. And he goes, no, you need that pink sweater. I'm like, I don't wear pink. He goes, no, but that sweater, the way it's cut, look at the neckline, it's not up, it's not this. So I'm carrying on, seriously, a vocal out loud conversation, one-sided, is all anybody could hear, with this character, who in my mind was standing right beside me going, no, you don't want that. We're going to get the pink one. Will you try it on? And I look across the way, and there's this lady staring at me, just because I'm carrying on this full conversation. And so I have long hair. And I had long hair at the time, so I, like, put my finger up to my ear like I had an earbud in. And I'm like, oh, well, no. Well, we've talked about this before. And I just walk off. I grab the sweater and walk off.
I love it.
I'm like, oh.
That is so funny. But
I really
relate.
Well, and that's one of the stories we started giggling about, is we both have a tendency to have them talk. That's why,
yes,
I act like I have headphones, or I'm talking on my cell phone. Because especially when you're driving and you're carrying on this full-blown conversation, when you're driving, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm arguing with the characters because I cannot stop and write down what they're yelling at me while I'm in traffic.
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
never.
Try it in the shower, too.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter. Shower, restaurant, grocery, you know. They're always there, and they're always doing stuff. Or they, here lately, it's, hey, it's 4 o'clock. You going to get up and write? No, I'm sleeping. But it's 4 o'clock. Yes, I know it's 4 o'clock. You know, so we go through that wonderful conversation of, yeah, okay, it's 4 o'clock. I got it.
And you want to strangle them. But then if you ignore them for any length of time, they go away. They say, what's this?
And they do. And they
have.
Uh-huh.
And you can't do anything about it because you've ignored them, and so they're going to punish you.
Oh, they do. Or they tease you.
Yes.
The tease is what I hate more than the go away.
I'm having that problem with Lily Rose right now because she was all up in my all up in my head, had the storyline already down, was working on it, and a lot of different things happened at once, and I was ignoring her. And she said, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Watch this.
They do. And they'll
absolutely
walk away.
And they take turns, too, though.
Yeah, she took the entire clan with her. All
sisters,
all the witches. She just said, we're done. We're gone. She even took the bad guy with her.
I know. They will. They'll go radio silent. And it's just like, excuse me, where are you?
Hey,
hello.
Share the story. Hey, Joan, share the story when they went maneuvers. When you were asking him for that latest saga, and they went, we're on maneuvers.
Oh yeah, because they're commando. they're commandos basically.
So,
and so I was like, guys, I got time. Let's do this. You know, and you're sitting there, and I'm like, where are you? What are you doing? Where are you? And finally I get a message from them going, hey, we're on maneuvers. We're radio silent. We can't talk to you right now. We'll tell you when we get back from wherever we are. And I'm like, what do you mean you're on maneuvers? What the? You know. Like,
I get it.
And prior to that, they were on her every single day. Why aren't you writing?
Oh, yeah.
We need you to write this in. She goes, but I can't write. I'm like in the shower. I'm driving. I'm at work.
But they don't care.
And then, we're on maneuvers. Bye.
I know. They tell me they're on maneuvers. I'm like, for real? How are y'all on maneuvers? We've got stuff to do. I'm like, okay. Well, I'm going to go over here and start working on this then, you know, because then there's other characters going, well, if they're gone.
We're right here. Hello?
And then I started writing a totally different book, a totally different genre. You know, the whole nine yards, and I get partway in that, and they go, okay, we're back. Hey, we're done.
A little jealousy, that's what it is.
I'm telling you. Oh, big babies.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
especially Fluffy.
Was the one that you were working on called what, the Heart Sees?
The first one, the contemporary romance?
Yeah, the two brothers, one chance for happiness.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, she's gone from shapeshifters to two brothers and a ranch. And what the Heart Sees goes like this. David McAfee placed his own dreams on hold to run the family farm. See, she's writing what she knows. She knows about a farm. Thanks to him, his younger brother, Aaron, was able to attend medical school and soon after one of the most sought-after cardiologists in all of Montgomery. Beth's connections are everything Aaron needs in a wife, but she's too curvy, too lush, not the wispy socialite a doctor of his status should have on his arm. But he is willing to overlook her unfashionably curvaceous silhouette if it means getting his way, just like a man. Aaron is everything Beth should desire in a husband, but her relationship with him often leaves her confused and disappointed. Where is the passion she knows must lie beneath the surface, and where is the fulfillment she craves? A weekend trip to the farm changes everything. Plans are made, and as usual, plans go awry. Someone is bound to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, ladies and gentlemen, Joan is as eclectic a writer as I am. It's one of the things I've just fallen in love with this woman with, because she writes it all, from shapeshifters to a cardiologist and his farm brother and
yeah.
a woman in between.
And once again, when you're talking about go with what you know, or we write what we know. I grew up on a cotton farm, and that's what this is about. It's a cotton farm, but it's in Mississippi, Alabama instead of Tennessee, because we lived in Troy, Alabama, and I taught music at Enterprise Ozark Community College, and it was a 40-mile drive from
wow.
our house in Troy. But when I would drive, it was in the country, and I would pass cotton farm after cotton farm after cotton farm. And I love watching cotton grow. It's beautiful. Cotton
it is.
Flowers are gorgeous,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's where that came from, is watching all those cotton farms and being from a farm. And also being a curvy girl. I'm not a little child. I'm not little. Never have been, never will be.
No,
but ladies and gentlemen, she is not only lots of fun, she's also cute. So just remember
oh, thank
that.
You.
She is. And now, are you going to be in Cocoa Beach next year?
I plan on it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise, I'm going to be there too.
Exactly. And see, that's a Southernism.
Absolutely. Now, remember before the show started, and I told you that we would have so much fun, and Lord, I've had a ball.
I have too.
And the hour would fly by. It's flown by.
Oh, wow.
Yes. We have about 5 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
So in about three of those 5 minutes, will you tell the folks where you can be found, the names of your books, the name of the new book that is coming out, and our caller dropped. I wish she'd have stayed on because I wanted to tell her thank you, and when it will be out.
Okay, well... the when it will be out, as you said, God willing and the creek don't rise, the spring of 2018. And, okay, so let's start at the first. You can find me on Facebook, and it's Joan Hazel, Author Coach, on Facebook. My website is Joan Hazel Author. I make it so hard, you know, to find me, .com. And you can contact me through there if you want to. There's a contact form. And so those are my big places to find me. I'm also on Twitter, Guardian Writer is my Twitter handle. And my books are all available pretty much across the board, Kindle, Amazon, and Barnes & Noble. It's on the Nook and the Kobo also. So I'm pretty much across everything. I think there's like 7 different channels that I run on, publishing channels. The first book, the one that we were talking about, What the Heart Sees, that is an ebook only. I have not printed copies of it. And it, once again, can be on Amazon or Nook or any of that. The Guardian series, The Last Guardian, is about Mika. He's one of the four commandos. That's his story. Saint is book 2, which is Burdens of a Saint. The third book, tentatively titled The Red Prince.
Depending on whether or not he changes the title.
Exactly. He's waffling at this moment between that and another title. But it's right now it's that one. And then the fourth one will probably be Ghost of a Chance, because his name's Ghost. And let's see, what else do I have? Oh, yeah, the Spirit Guidebook. And there's actually another one of those in the work, which gets a little more in-depth and in detail about dealing with your spirit guides, about working with your spirit guides.
Yeah, because we can't deal with them. They're undealable.
Sometimes they are, yeah.
So working
with your guides.
They just
run them up. Yeah. Mine are often referred to as the frat boys.
I like that.
They really are, because sometimes they just, you know, I get these weird images of any, like one time a bunch of Vikings in kilts, and I'm like, why are you in kilts? This is not making sense to me. But
because Vikings did not wear, well, I take that back, because the Vikings did invade Scotland, so they very well could have been wearing kilts at some time.
Obviously, these liked them. I don't know, but they had a, you know, a stein of beer or a horn of beer and a kilt, and I'm like, guys, really? Okay. And they were doing the can-can. That was the other thing. Seriously, the whole dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, I'm like, guys, really? Put the kilt down. Put it down.
We don't want to see that.
I don't need to see that.
Well, I have a question for you, my friend.
Yes, ma'am.
I've had so much fun tonight. Would you be willing to come back in April?
I certainly would. I'd love it.
Okay. Well, pick a day, because the shows run Wednesday through Saturday. So you pick a day and send me that one of those, because right now April is open.
Okay. Awesome.
So pick a day and send it to me, and I'll put you down. And ladies and gentlemen, I know y'all have had a ball, because you can't not have a ball with Joan and I, because we just clicked on the phone. It was like we've known each other all of our life, but that's what Southern girls do.
It is.
Because we have that commonality. So I want you to stay online after the show goes off the air, because I've got some instructions for you. But I want to tell you now how much I appreciate the fun we've had tonight, and you coming and spending an hour with me, especially on a Saturday night when it's football time, and how grateful I am. And I cannot wait to do this again.
I loved it. It's awesome.
And ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, this was her first time on an online radio show, and she nailed it like a pro.
Oh, thank you.
You are welcome. I told her it would be just me and her and almost 80,000 listeners, and I would be well.
I can talk to a fence post now.
It's another Southern thing. So, y'all, I'll know that I have these things that I say at the end of the show, because they're very important to me. And one of them is, don't just feel special, be special, because if you just feel special, you'll never be special, because feelings go away. They come and go, and they're a dime a dozen. So in order to be special, you have to be special. If you want to achieve greatness, please, ladies and gentlemen, stop asking permission, because nobody's going to give it to you. Just go out and take it. The world is your oyster. Grab it. The difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. And you've heard Joan and I tonight, and this is what we do. This is who we are. We've embraced it. We hope y'all do. One day you'll just be a memory to some people. Do your best to be a good one. Don't be that person that's laying in the casket and they go, oh, bless her heart, at least she has nice hair. Right, Joan?
They were so precious.
She had to throw that one in there. We can't help ourselves. It's a Southern thing.
I just couldn't stop myself, sorry.
Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. And how you leave others feeling after having had an experience with you, ladies and gentlemen, that does become your trademark. And I hope tonight that our trademark has been one that y'all may never remember, either one of us down the road. You may never remember what we've written, but I hope that we have left you with a good feeling inside. I hope we've made you laugh. That was the connotation of tonight's Southern Women's Talk. So, once again, join me next Wednesday night at the regular time of 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And this is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, with my guest, author Joan Hazel. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, get ready to jump over to Amazon and get her books, because I guarantee you that you will love them. because she is a fantastic author. So until next Wednesday night, we say with much, much Southern graciousness, we will see you later. We are now off the air, but everything we say now will go up into archives. But what I wanted to tell you is when we shut down the show, and when you see your friend, please tell her I said thank you so much for calling in and for listening. Mm-hmm. And I wish she'd have stayed offline so I could tell her personally, but I'll let you do that for me.
Okay.
But when we go off the air, the show will go up into archives. When it goes into archives, I'm going to put the link on my page, and I'm going to tag you in it. Take that link and put it everywhere.
Okay.
Because that's one of my gifts to you. The other of my gifts to you is tomorrow I'm going to put the show up on 5 podcasts, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, Spreaker, Podcast.com, and Podcast Garden. I will send you those links as well. I'll put them up on my page and tag you in them. Use those links. Send them to everybody you know.
Okay.
The show is also heard on iTunes, FM.com, TuneIn Radio, and YouTube.
Wow.
That's how we get 80,000 listeners in over 70 countries.
I think that's awesome. I was listening to your numbers. I was like, oh, my gosh, because I've listened to them grow every week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fantastic.
It's all because of y'all. And it's such a humbling thing that when I go in to the stats the morning after the show and I see 900, 700, 500 just in one night.
Mm-hmm.
It's so humbling because y'all are getting heard in places you might never have been heard without this
show. That's fantastic. I love it.
So send me a date for April.
Okay, I will.
And let's do this again, and we'll find some more Southernisms to laugh about.
Oh, God, I have a friend who he literally spit Dr. Pepper on his windshield one day because of something. I can't remember what it was I said. It was something, oh, that dog don't hunt in my backyard. I think that was it. And he absolutely spit Dr. Pepper on his windshield. And he's like, please stop doing that when I drink.
But that dog don't hunt.
That dog don't hunt. It just don't.
I've said that and people go, what?
That was another one I had to explain to my Wichita friend.
They don't understand that Southernism?
No. It took her forever. I had to explain it like 4 or 5 times.
When we were at supper tonight, I was talking to a friend of mine that just moved down here from South Carolina, and she's like me and you, true Southerner. And we were discussing something that I had cooked. And I said, it make you want to slap your mama.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody at the table broke up because they know me. And she said, yep, it will.
Yep.
So people going, what? Why would you want to slap your mama?
I know. People think you actually, because I've had people do that. You slap your mom. I'm like, no.
No, it's just a saying. It's that good.
Yeah. They don't, yeah, I know. They don't get it. They don't get it.
They don't. Well, I am going to leave you to go and watch the rest of the football game with your husband. I'm sure you're excited about that.
He's probably flipping between 4 of them right now.
Yeah, it sounds like my husband. I heard him yelling. He's a Gator fan, and I hope they're still winning. I'm a Georgia fan, and so we live in a house divided.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah, especially when Georgia plays Florida.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Because I don't dare shout for Georgia because it could cause a divorce or a murder, depending on what kind of mood I'm in.
Depending on the day.
Yeah, and my mood. You know,
yeah, exactly.
How that plays out. Yeah. And pick a date. I'm serious. Pick a date because I want you to come back and we'll talk about your new books and Southernisms and being empathic and intuitive and trying to keep ourselves sane in an insane world.
If we ever find that secret, we'll be rich.
Absolutely. Hey, maybe we could bottle it.
That'd be good. have to think of a nifty title for it. That's something catchy.
Well, think on these things.
I will.
All right, darling. I will see you later and send me a date. I'm serious as a heart attack.
I will. I'll look at the calendar and see what's going on.
Okay. It's another Southernism. And see, and that's right. That's like 2 months before the event in Cocoa, so that gets you even more exposure for that event.
That's awesome. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
I loved it.
I did, too. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.